Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
I was going to say up to, and then I changed my mind to at, and then it became that noise that I just made.
Sure.
At.
I enjoy 216 because it's 4 times 54.
And you're a fan of 54?
No, but I'm a fan of 216.
Good on your maths. Or math.
Math, depending where you're from. Don't get the whole math thing.
I prefer maths.
Me too, but that's because it's what we were raised with.
That's what we knew. I've got a good quiz for you if you were a fan of the year 2004.
I was a fan of the year 2004.
I thought so, which is why we've got a quiz about it. I don't want you to think about movies. I want you to base your head. I want you to base your mind and your train of thought on TV shows.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say pop punk bands.
No, but that would have involved me doing way more research and you getting the answers really, really quickly, I suspect. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
We'd line up at the starting line.
Yeah, that's it.
We are the in crowd. Anyway,
You've got a fun fact for us?
I do have a fun fact, but not for right now. That's for later. Don't spoil you yet. I can't have your pudding without your dessert.
No. Yeah, the news is the main meal, and then the fun fact is the dessert before we get into watching stuff.
Oh, I like to think it's an after-dinner mint before we dive into the dessert that is the reviews.
I like that more.
And
I like
then
that.
The late night hot chocolate of a quiz to tuck us up for bed.
Oh, that's really nice. Okay. That's how I'm going to think about it from now on.
And then the weird noise I make at the end of the show is the terror that comes with sleep paralysis.
I thought you were going to say some sort of indigestion.
No.
When you lie down, you're like,
you know that thing when you're half asleep, you're like, oh, my legs, I've broken my back. Does that happen to you? Just me?
Okay. No. Sometimes I have the drifting off to sleep and then the leg kicks or something.
Oh, I get that a lot.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But now you're awake. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by La Nina. Forgotten umbrella? Tough luck. More than 20,000 tonnes of 1988 rugby league collectible cards have been unearthed in the old Wentworth tip down the end of Wentbroke Lane. Brad Tinsley purchased the land late last year and got to work on seeing what was underneath the topsoil, hoping to find the stash of hidden treasure visiting aliens were said to have buried back in 1432, or bagfuls of 1982 ET video game cartridges. He was surprised to see Wally Lewis, Wayne Pierce, and Peter Sterling's faces looking up at him. While little is known about their worth, legend has it the Year 6 students from West Watchersville held a massive scab grab there one afternoon after school in late September 1988. Multiple men in their 40s got wind of this find and rushed down to claim the cards were theirs. Police had to be called to break up the altercation, and Senior Constable Fern Farmer said she hasn't seen anything like it. Well, apart from when she had to break up the altercation with the Year 6s back during the initial scab grab. The men's hammering club and women's crocheting group are at each other's throats. Just an expression, it's not really that violent, because both have booked the old town hall each Tuesday at 3 p.m. The double booking is the fault of Leonard Hoops, who was the council booker of halls, fields, the gazebo, big rubbish collection, tennis courts, public pool lane bookings, and cake stall allocation during the annual fete. Problem is, Leonard got sick of his job, started applying for others and stopped caring about double booking places, and we hear he also started swiping the toilet paper from the work loos just before he left his job. So for now, the two groups will have to share, while Lara, the new girl, sorts out how to use the spreadsheet. If you're keen on getting your hands on Barry Wilson's radishes this year, best get your name on the waiting list to avoid disappointment. Last year, his award-winning root vegetables not only won the Watchersville County Fresh Produce First Prize ribbon, but his whole crop went like hotcakes, if hotcakes tasted like radishes. I mean, they might. What are hotcakes even made from? Anyway, Barry said he's asked the new girl, Lara, from the council to help him with the orders this year, so it should be all good. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. News time. Because it's top of the hour. I've been looking at a few things that Disney are doing. So I think we're going to bunch these two stories together.
Do a bundle. Bundle.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I love a bundle.
Oh, they're so good because you unwrap it and there's a whole heap of good stuff in it, right?
Yeah. Or just sticks.
Okay. We were both thinking of two different sorts of bundles. I saw that Disney Plus have given a little bit more info about that Beauty and the Beast prequel that they're doing, which is going to be a musical. It's a series. I think it might have 10 episodes. Or that might be another show that we're talking about later. That's another show we're talking about later. Mm. But this one, they have announced that Rita Ora from – has she done any acting? Yeah, she's been a judge on the voice kind of shows.
I'm sure she's been a voice in an animated film.
Yeah, probably.
Rita Ora would have voiced a flamboyant bird or
I reckon you're right.
Badger.
Or a sassy badger.
That's depends where the film was. If it was made in England, then she'd be a deeper badger. Cut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But if it was something like Madagascar, then a lemur?
Oh, likely. Because
that's the only place they're from, right?
Yeah, but the lemur is the king one is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Of course. So
I think they tend to go a bit English people doing silly. Hey, why are we talking about.
Sorry. Got sidetracked.
You and I have been talking about Madagascar.
It came into my head, therefore, that's why. So she is going to play a character who is a fugitive and has some sort of ability. I don't know if it's like a magical ability or something. And she could potentially affect the entire kingdom. I want to know what she does. Is she going to be like an evil witch or something? Oh. See, the reason she's in it, well, not the reason. One of the reasons that makes sense that she's in it is because this is going to be the musical.
Yes.
Like they're going to sing songs, like, you know.
And it's not not animated, it's live action, right?
Yes, live action. So.
But who's she playing? Is she Miss Potts?
It doesn't say. They haven't given any information. It's not going to be. It's not going into production until later in the year, sort of. No, spring 2020 for the US is really soon. So maybe it's going into production any second now.
Stay tuned, Aura heads.
Aura adorers. You're trying to do a fedora?
Oh, no, I'm trying to say fanatic.
Fandora?
Fanoratic.
Fandora. So that one. And then one of our favourites, David Diggs, is going to narrate a doco for Disney Plus called The Crossover. Now, it's kind of a weird doco and I don't really know anything about it except that it's about basketball. But it's based on a book, which was a novel by a bloke called Quayne Alexander, who has written quite a few kids' books and stuff like that. Right. So maybe it's kind of going to be a doco more for kids than the adult section of the Disney Plus audience. But they've got people like LeBron James is going to be in there, and he's also an executive producer, actually. So if you're a big NBA fan, or just like your basketball, or just like your David Diggs, look out for that one. There's no date for it yet, but Disney does a lot of docos, and I feel like people don't talk about them enough.
They do like to – they got some pretty cool ones there.
I mean, some of them are, you know, whatever. You try and watch one, and you're like, nah, I'm not really feeling this. But others are
very underrated. Much enjoyed all of their Imagineering and behind-the-scenes stuff at Disneyland and – you know, the second part of season two of Jeff Goldblum just dropped.
Yep. Have you watched it yet?
Some of it, not all of it. Okay. I go out sparingly.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things where Jeff Goldblum is great, but you watch two or three episodes and this is too much Jeff Goldblum at once.
Yeah, fair enough. Kind of like when you try to watch Black Mirror episodes, you're like, one's probably enough.
Too much time.
Yes, too much.
Too much time. All right, well, I've got a new show that's coming from HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a development deal with J.J. Abrams. He's created a new show called Duster. It's going to be starring Josh Holloway, who was Sawyer in Lost.
Yep.
And he was also in Colony. And anyone, either of our mums that are listening right now, he was on Yellowstone recently. He was the rich cowboy guy.
Oh, is Yellowstone sort of like a Hallmark kind of?
It's the Kevin Costner show.
Okay.
It's the biggest, it's getting like Walking Dead numbers or something. Yeah.
How have I completely missed this?
Because it's not a big deal to anyone that's less than 50 or doesn't live in the Bible Belt in the States.
Okay, okay.
It's very popular there. And it's like the only thing on, I want to say, Paramount Network or something. It's like an offshoot. It's not the streaming services.
Yellowstone. Yeah, and he's in it.
Anyway, he's in it.
Okay.
Duster, this sounds great. So as I say, J.J. Abrams, it's about a 70s getaway driver Ooh. For a growing crime syndicate in the Southwest. So instead of most of your 70s crime stuff, it's largely it's in New York, Chicago, you know. It's
true.
Very city. This is instead going to be, you know, more rough and tumble Southwest.
I'm still imagining a tan color leather jacket.
Oh, for sure.
And as soon as you said, like as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, he's going to have to grow his hair out.
Yep.
Like, you know, like the lost days.
Oh, tassels.
Tassels or fringe on his sleeves. But he's also going to have to slide across the boot of a car, not boot, bonnet of a car, Starsky and Hutch style, right?
Well, he's a getaway driver. Other people are going to have to jump over the car. He's going to be sitting there idling.
Like, hurry up, go. Let's and the go, only thing go. He has to do is put his sunglasses on and he's ready to go.
Stay cool.
Yeah.
Reckon he's going to have a toothpick?
Yeah.
Jackie Daytona style?
Wait, Jackie Daytona? Real human bartender. That sounds really cool. I wonder if, I mean, I know you just said that he was in Yellowstone and
but that was just
people
a
are loving
guest,
it, right?
A guest
just
appearance. Loving it. He's just a guest appearance in Yellowstone.
Okay, okay. But is it like, is this going to be his resurgence?
I don't know. So he's kept himself busy. He was on Colony for 3 years. That just finished.
Yeah, this. True.
He's very picky with what he's willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
He got offered a lot of stuff after Lost
he
was not interested in doing.
Let me guess. It was stuff from Ashton Kutcher's production company that was similar to Punk'd.
Oh.
That would have been at that era, right?
Oh, wait.
No, maybe a little later, actually. A bit later.
Yeah.
Do we know anything about when it's coming out?
Nah,
it's really early.
Very, very
early.
We've
got really early days news here. That's really hard to say. Speaking of early days news, Kristen Wiig's going to be in a comedy series, a 10-part comedy series. That's where I got the 10 from, 10 episodes.
Right.
For Apple Plus called Mrs. American Pie. Now, it's not anything to do with American Pie, the movie series. But Laura Dern's going to be in it as well. She's also executive producing it. And it's set in the early 70s and revolves around Kristen Wiig's character as she attempts to secure her seat at America's most exclusive table, which is the Palm Beach High Society. Now, I really hope that means that Laura Dern is already in that group.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be the snooty. No, not my club.
Because the look she can give, very scathing and very relevant to this kind of show.
I can already see Kristen Wiig's wig.
It's massive, right?
Yes.
Kristen Wiig's wig.
So much wavy.
Oh, yeah, wavy. The fringe or the bangs are not necessarily anywhere near her forehead. They're just up. Think Dolly Parton.
Yes.
That kind of wig.
There'll be Daisy Dukes.
There's also, if it's set in the 70s, disco
for sure.
Disco was around the early 70s?
Yeah.
All right, then. There's 100%.
If they go to New York, they'll visit Club 54?
Club 54. So Laura Dern.
Four times that, 216. There you go.
There you go. It came all. Oh, it was meant to be. She's going to be wearing jumpsuit, so a onesie, 1970s style, and it's going to be gold.
Do you think they'll find a way to work her father, Bruce Dern, in? Because he was a working actor in the 70s.
Maybe they could CGI him into it like they do in Star Wars productions.
Sure.
It'd be cool. I want to watch it. This might make me want to get Apple Plus.
Well, look.
There's so many streaming
isn't
services.
There, if you want to jump over to Paramount Plus,
yeah.
They've announced a new series coming called Guru Nation. It's a mock documentary series.
I already like the sound of this.
From Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Yes.
Who are the two guys that did Mr. Show, as rival cult leaders. It's directed by Jason Wallner, who did Borat 2.
Nice.
Written by Bill Odenkirk, who's Bob Odenkirk's brother and is responsible for, was very involved in a lot of your favorite Simpsons episodes and the best era of Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
That, so there's a lot of good talent behind this thing.
And this is in on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be, they're just getting very manipulative.
You've got to have the right people behind a mockumentary to make it really good. And the fact that there's Borat stuff happening in there, it's going to be good.
I smell the whiff of Nathan Fielder.
Yeah.
Because he works with Wallner an awful lot. Wallner did a lot of Nathan For You. So it would not surprise me if he gets some writing credit or something on this. And I don't have more news, but his show is coming this year.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
And we're in February already. Yeah. Gosh. Speaking of in February already, that Super Bowl over in the US is about to happen. Did you see this story?
I've seen several of them about this that Super Bowl. What's your story?
Mine's about the Foo Fighters.
No, I hadn't seen anything about the Foo Fighters at the Super Bowl.
So they're after the Super Bowl.
Oh, they're not playing in the Super Bowl. No. I thought that's where this was going. I was like, oh. All right, something more interesting. It's going to be the Foo Fighters taking on a bag of Doritos chips.
Well, no. I mean, potentially they could be taking on an avatar that is a Doritos chips because they'll be performing a VR concert after the Super Bowl. You're going to sigh more when I say who's it for.
The dads of America.
You got to get your MetaQuest headsets. Which is what Oculus Quests were called until a couple of months ago. So if you've got an Oculus Quest, but like that's someone who's got a fair bit of money, right? They're expensive, aren't they, those Oculus Quests?
Mom, Dad won't set the table. He's too busy wearing his metaverse mask and interacting with the Foo Fighters VR concert after the Super Bowl. Everything about that makes me mad.
Well, you're going to get even madder because this is my favorite sentence that I learnt, right? So it's going to feature, I'm going to read it word for word, right? The 180-degree VR concert will feature the Foo Fighters playing a song that has never been performed live before, as well as a set of rarely played tracks. So none of the hits?
Great.
So none of the hits? So it's the concert-sized chunk of a normal concert where a band or a performer sings the new songs from
their one of the new ones.
That's when you go to the loo.
It's drink time.
Yep. So that's going to be happening. So people at the concert in their VR headsets can dress up as avatars, right? There's going to be Dorito chip avatars. There has to be. You're not going to go?
I'm honestly mad.
You're not going to go buy an Oculus Meta Quest VR?
No, because I'm really mad because the Foo Fighters have got that Route 666 movie coming out pretty soon.
Mm.
And that looks like fun. And this is fucked.
Mark Zuckerberg gave them a lot of money for this. You can tell, right?
This is like when U2 snuck that album onto all our phones and everyone collectively went, the fuck, at least give us the greatest hits.
It can't be that bad, though. That was super invasive.
That's pretty bad. The music was not good.
I haven't heard from U2 for, well, since then.
Bono plays a lion in Sing 2.
Good on him. Mm. That's really nice. I'm glad for him. Do you want to get away from this story?
So much. One thing that cheered me up a great deal with this week is, you know, I love my Legends of Tomorrow. It's such a good
it's one of your
show.
Favorites.
It is one of my absolute favorites. And they've had seasons where all sorts of weird bananas stuff has happened. They've had to fix the timeline. One year they had to defeat a demon that was trying to escape hell. Last season was all about aliens. They kidnapped the captain. This season the AI for the ship went rogue, cloned itself, sent itself into the future. The evil version of itself has come back in time with another spaceship.
Right, so now
and destroyed
two.
Their spaceship.
So
there's only one spaceship and it's rogue in space. And it has created evil robot clones of the team. So that's where they're at this season.
That's
They've
a
been
mess.
Stuck in Well, they were stuck in 1915, I think it was, just before. No, 1914. No,
that's during the, so that's at the cusp of World War One, right?
They were stuck at the fixed point of Franz Duke.
Uh-huh.
Archduke Franz Ferdinand being shot.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Anyway, so it's been a whole thing. I'm very excited to say that for the season finale, which is only going to be in like two or three episodes, Donald Faison has been cast, who you might remember best from Scrubs or Clueless or all sorts of other great things. But I particularly enjoy him in Kick-Ass 2. He plays a fanboy who becomes a superhero. So they didn't say specifically who he's playing, but they said that it was going to give the show a real boost and that he had genuine star power. We could have been gold to the thing. So everyone's pretty sure that he's going to be playing a character named Booster Gold. And Booster Gold's whole deal, he's the greatest hero you've never heard of. So he's from the 25th century and he was a failed football star who broke into a Justice League museum, stole a whole bunch of artifacts from our time and then a time machine and has come back to now to make himself be as famous as Superman. But everyone here doesn't know about stealing stuff in the future, so everyone sees him as a good guy and all this sort of stuff.
It's a long game plan that he's got.
Anyway, he fucks up time pretty bad pretty quick and gets stuck in an infinite loop. Mm-mm. And now he has to be the hero you've never heard of. His job is to go fall through time constantly and fix other time travelers' shenanigans and can't exist within time himself. And so he's become this great hero that everyone that, you know, us as readers love him.
Yeah.
But everyone that sees him just thinks he's a bumbling goof.
So he won't be dressed up as a superhero?
We don't know yet of what.
Okay.
What thing.
Whereabouts,
I imagine. Hopefully they're casting him for next season.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, he's such a big name, so you'd suspect he's going to be there for a while.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he fits the whole Legends thing of he doesn't actually have any powers. He has, you know, he stole a flight ring and he's got blasters in her wrist mount and all, you know, all this sort of stuff.
Batman stuff.
It's pretty cool.
So you've only got a couple of episodes before he makes his introductory.
Yes, because they do only 13 to 16 episodes maximum per season.
Yeah, okay.
Quite short runs. COVID, of course, affected them. And I don't think it's confirmed for the next season, but Grant Gustin, who is The Flash, he just re-upped for one more season. CW, the network that they're all shown on, we've discussed before, is potentially up for sale.
Yep.
So those shows could get cancelled at some point. I hope Legends doesn't until, you know, I hope they know they're going to get cancelled so they can wrap it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But, I mean, it'd also be nice if it stays around or goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which is a potential.
It's such a bonkers show.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy, I promise.
Apparently, I accidentally deleted a story.
No. Let's roll with this. Just say the headline and let's see if we can work it out.
Okay. All right. So I've just looked at my notes and I've only got the headline. It looks like I've deleted the rest of this story. So we'll just see how we go, okay?
So you'll just wing your notes like I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jared Butler and the John Wick creator, Derek Kolstad.
Yes.
Are teaming up for a, it's an adaptation of a book, I think. It's going to be based on a book called Just Watch Me. And it's a heist movie where he plays a heist bloke, right? And the thing,
heist bloke.
Yeah.
The technical term.
Heist bloke.
I like it when you don't make notes. He plays a heist bloke.
And I remember thinking whilst writing the notes that I no longer have that it sounded very much like Red Notice.
Yes.
And that this sounds very much like a reaction to the success of Red Notice.
Sure.
I don't know where it's going. If it's for a streaming service or whatnot, but it's pretty cool that it's got John Wick's, like the guy, you know, the bloke behind John Wick. It also has another bloke from something else that was really cool, but I don't remember what it is because
Steve Buscemi?
I've made a pact.
Probably Steve Buscemi.
Not to read the article. I'd say so. Yeah, he walks in and goes, hey, fellow cool heist movie people.
Yeah.
Has he been in a heist movie?
I'm sure he has.
Hmm. Has he been in a Fargo season?
Yes. No.
Or is it the movie? Yes. Was he in the movie?
He's in the movie.
Hmm.
This is what I'm thinking of. Him and Peter Stormare. I'm doing the face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because sometimes
I feel like he was in, he probably wasn't, but was he in that Tom Hanks period bank robber film?
Catch Me If You Can.
No, it was The Seven Guys.
Oh.
Michael Jeter, was that his name? No. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Jared Butler.
Jared Butler.
Just watch me.
Heist. Heist. Get excited.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, here's a story I've got. Let's break it down like osteoporosis.
Hey.
Not really. I don't know. I just thought that'd be fun.
Drink milk, kids.
Drink milk. Party Down is a show that I enjoyed two seasons of quite a few years ago.
I don't remember this. Party Down.
So Party Down is on Stars, the Stars Network, which is still going now.
Yeah.
But let's see. It's Adam Scott before Community. No, let me retake that sentence. It's Adam Scott before Parks and Recreation.
Yep.
How weird. So, yeah, Party Down Stars. Let's see. It's got Adam Scott. It's got Lizzie Kaplan.
Nice.
Martin. What's his name?
Freeman?
No.
Friedman.
From Freaks and Geeks. Ken Marino. Jane Lynch. Megan Mullally.
That I remember you talking about this now. I think we should not allow ourselves to look up things more because this is
quite fun.
Fun.
This is keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
Ken Marino runs a catering company staffed by wannabe actors and actresses.
I remember you talking
and
about
they,
this.
And each episode, they are catering a different party. And it's such a brilliant setup for a show because it just means that they can film at different hotels around LA.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple. You know, that's the plan. For the revival, they've added a whole bunch of different people, but the two that really stood out for me as exciting was Jennifer Garner, who I think she's playing some sort of socialite, and she'll be recurring across the season.
Oh, nice.
And then James Marsden is going to be in the mix as well.
It's weird that he would be in something. He's never in anything. He's really picky.
He's a busy fellow.
Yeah.
And I did read what his thing was, but I've forgotten.
And we're not allowed to look it up. That's the pact we've made.
He might be playing against type, might be owner like a tech bro, but that might be from something else I read this week. And instead, he might just be a good old boy.
That's usually what he is, but like the Teddy kind of thing. What I would like to see him as is like the really stressed out manager of the hotel where the thing is taking place, the party is taking place.
Has he recently brought in a cat to try and take care of a mouse problem?
Kind of thing. Because,
oh my God, I would love an episode of something where a Tom and Jerry style film is taking place in the background.
They could do that. That's not.
We could do that.
Out of the real. Oh.
So I think there's going to be 8 to 10 episodes of that one too.
I don't know how I missed that show originally because it sounds like the kind of show that I would really like and also has the cast of people
you
that
will
I would
love
really
it.
Like.
So Jane Lynch is the first season and then she had to bounce season two to go and do
Glee.
And so Megan Mullally, it basically they reboot her character kind of into Megan Mullally, but then later in the season Jane Lynch could come back. So there's a showdown between them.
So good. What?
It's a fucking weird show. It's really good.
Where can I find Stars stuff? Is that on Disney?
No. So it's STARZ.
It is
a streaming service. It was originally a channel in the States. You can buy the show on iTunes. I believe the seasons are $4.99 each. Or
that's not
it's
too
very
bad.
Cheap.
Yeah,
it's
that's all right.
Great fun show.
By the way, I just found the article about.
Don't. The article about what? We can't go back.
No, I just like the silence. No, it was just the Jared Butler.
I don't. We've gone past
already done it.
Notes, no notes. We've mentioned it. Moving on. You got another story? I got one left.
I am done with my stories.
Hey, Do you know who needs a good friend right now?
Who?
Neighbours. Oh, yeah. Channel 5 in the UK is axing it. So really? Stop sharing, showing it in 6 months. Fremantle, look, other people are confident that another network over there will pick it up. Here it's only shown on Channel 10 Ferry or...
Yeah, I know it's not the main Channel 10 anymore. Channel 10. And that's been a while, right? That's Bungie? Been for quite a few years. But Bold?
Channel 10.
No, Bold's a TV show. Once again, we're not allowed to look this up. Are you just saying...
Words.
Channel 10 Charlene?
Yep.
So is this because it is not as successful as it used to be? Because it used to be the powerhouse, right?
Look,
over in the UK.
Channel 5 is having more success with higher budget dramas, which, you know, is the same. Everyone is.
So yeah, fair enough.
They're pooling their resources. Neighbours is a relatively expensive proposition for them. It will be a big get to whoever else it goes to.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 10 here doesn't earn enough from it, doesn't have enough viewers to support the show here. So it's reliant on someone over there.
Hmm.
So over the UK seems to care about this story a lot more than we did. So, Viv, this is a shout-out for you. None of us give a shit.
Viv, what do you reckon? Would it be super controversial if the BBC picks it up and puts it on one of theirs? I mean, I know they'd have to take the ads out, but would that be like the BBC laughing at other TV channels?
Sure.
We've got it.
I don't know. The BBC is a tough one because it's very taxpayer funded.
Mm.
And so their stuff has to be, like our ABC, has to be a specific part local.
Oh, so they'd have to, what they'd have to do is instead of the ad breaks, they would have to make their own 3-minute scene set somewhere in the UK.
Yeah, I think there'd have to be a character that, you know, suddenly Sally? No, that's Home and Away.
But there's so many people, right? So many actors from Neighbours who have gone over to the UK so they could just put them in.
Surely they could just set up a live stream camera.
Have a Zoom thing.
Set up a live stream camera at Kylie Minogue's house.
Get Natalie Imbruglia on there and Holly Valance.
Yeah.
Jason Donovan, you were going to say.
I was going to say, anyone that was here that's gone over there for Panto season.
Yeah, and never come back.
Have them pop up and they just, like Tom Hardy on BBC BBs, just pop up and read a bedtime story for everyone. G'day, everyone. I'm glad you're enjoying the Aussie drama. Here's your stories. Anyway, Nana, it's time for some bedtime stories for you. Hop in, tuck in. Here's a story about
Harold
and
Madge,
the dog and the Tucker box.
Oh, that's nice.
It feels awful to say that I don't care if Neighbours dies, but I don't care if Neighbours dies.
That's very controversial of you to say that, but not shocking because you're no longer in the demographic that would watch it.
Never was.
Mm.
Used to be on. Wasn't interested. Never seen a whole episode. I don't.
But you watched Home and Away, right?
No.
No?
No.
No, somebody watched it somewhere. It was on in the background?
Yeah, when I was boarding.
That's right.
Yeah, it was on. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Harold, he's the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
I'm aware of Harold and someone called Paul who blew his leg up or something.
Did he really?
I don't know. He had a limp and a cane and then maybe it grew back because the actor still had his leg.
And they couldn't do CGI anymore. They were like, no more of this.
This is how much I caught from walking into rooms. Yeah.
Speaking of no more of this, no more of this.
Should we cheer ourselves up and get a big, let's have a scoop from the punnet of fun facts.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. So I mentioned last week that I was excited to see Jackass Forever. I didn't get to see it yet because life.
Yep.
Anyway. But I did watch Jackass 2 and Jackass 3D, both unrated versions, whatever. And that got me in the mood for doing a bit of Jackass research. Because there's actually, like, you can see the clear progression in the films. The first one is just, oh, here's the clips, bigger version of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is we're trying to make a movie. The third one is let's get lots of reaction shots and actually build the tension around the stunts we're doing. So the first one has a lot of footage of them doing stuff in Japan, and a lot of it's very dumb. one of the sequences, so there's a guy named Loomis Fall who is kind of a bit of a hanger-on of the crew, but he's the guy that's often dressed as a referee and he stands there and kicks off segments. Yeah. Loomis Fall came up with the idea of the Night Pandas segment because he wanted to go to Japan. And it's a segment from the film where Preston, Wee Man, a whole bunch of them are dressed as pandas. They skateboard around Japan and cause terror. It's very, very funny. The crew agreed to bring Loomis along simply because nobody had the heart to tell him that pandas are from China.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. So it stands out as a weird thing in the movie. And you're like, what is it? That's why. It's because the idiot referee was like, we should dress as pandas and run around in Japan. And I was like, yeah, bud. Okay, great idea. The other reason for filming Japan extensively is that the laws requiring non-consenting participants to have their faces blurred out do not apply in Japan.
Ah, so it's easier work for the CGI editor or editor,
so
or whatever.
So it's this weird thing where here in the States you don't get consent consent. You got to blur a face.
Yeah.
But in Japanese porn, all your bits get blurred even if you're consensual.
But not your face.
But not your face.
Hmm.
There you go. Anyway.
With the pandas. I'd love it if the pandas' faces were blurred, but no, nobody in the crowd. That would be amazing.
Yeah, so they don't have to get the same sort of releases where in the same film there's guys that they harass when they're playing golf with a type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the two guys that got really angry refused to sign a release form, and that's why they're blurred so much.
I don't think having – heard that story. I don't think I actually watched the Jackass movies. I think I just watched the series many times.
They're so good, the movies.
Because you know why? The series were on TV all the time. You know, they were the ridiculousness of that era. They were just on TV.
Look, I'm sure number four won't keep the trend going, but this is one trilogy that it gets better each film.
Yeah, okay.
They learn what they're doing.
So do you think the fourth one won't have that because it's been too long?
I think the fact that some cast are dead, some cast are excommunicado, that sort of stuff.
And times have changed?
Times have changed. Some things are not appropriate they used to do. And they have a lot – I feel like this film's probably going to be about legacy because they've got a bunch of people that are new cast members that grew up watching Jackass and they're going to be like, oh, I'm hanging out with the legends.
Yeah. So
I think that's kind of more going to be the feel of this one. Anyway, I'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
Hopefully you'll be able to watch it and life won't get in the way this week. Should we get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So do you remember years ago, well, probably 4 years ago, Abe came on to the podcast and said, I really like the show Ozark with Jason Bateman and Laura Linney.
I do remember that happening.
It was years and years ago, and I watched the beginning of the first season and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then for no reason, which happens often, I think, with not just myself but everyone, no reason, I just didn't watch more. So I think I only watched maybe two or three tops. I picked it up again this week and I've watched the whole of the first season and it is so good at doing that just when you think it can't get any worse for them. Boom, here's this storyline. And what I like, so I reckon you're going to agree with me. Jason Bateman, everybody loves him, right?
Yes.
And rightfully so. But he does play almost the exact same character in everything.
He plays Jason Bateman.
Which is not a problem because the...
he is the best Jason Bateman that you can have doing that thing.
In anything. So in movies and TV shows...
it's him and Ted Danson.
That's right.
And you funny straight man thing so well.
And you just put them in different scenarios and see how that character reacts.
Yeah.
And this character that he plays in Marty in this show has that sort of, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's under control. I'm Jason Bateman. I can fix it all. But there's a cockiness to it. But he can back up the cockiness often, at least within the first season.
Right.
With ideas. Because he's been caught up in, he's a financial advisor. He's been caught up with a drug cartel and he has to launder their money.
Sure.
Got to wash it, make it clean, give it back to them. And if he doesn't, you know, he's probably going to swim with the fish. All that kind of stuff. It's almost like every time you think he's about to, you know, this is the end for him, he's going to die, they're going to kill him, he goes, wait a second, I've got an idea. And it's kind of like those people who, under immense pressure, can talk their way out of something with an idea that seems feasible. And obviously his really do work, but I feel like if this character was not going to be a financial planner who's laundering money for a big drug cartel, I reckon he could have been a radio announcer.
Sure.
You know, like,
on his feet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, for example, let's say it's the top of the hour, news has to come, the pips go up. No, where's the newsreader?
Where's the newsreader?
What's happened to the newsreader? The newsreader's mini studio, like voice booth, has gone down. They can't talk. So the newsreader runs into the studio. This is just kind of the scenario I'm thinking, right?
Sure.
But you can't have that 30 seconds where the newsreader has tried, doesn't work, grabs their papers, runs in. You can't have that dead air at the top of hour. So Jason Bateman would be like, we're going to have the traffic coming up for us very soon. Really, really looking forward to that. And also our chat with Tom, who's such a big fan of all of my work, and we'll be going through everything on my IMDb list, just like chatting about what's coming up. Yeah, but more importantly, we've got to get to the news because the news is the top of the hour every hour. So we're just, it's going to be so good to see what's a newsreader name? Sandra Sully's going to say. Well, you know, and then she comes in and she does the news. And no one would know that there's been a problem, right?
Sure, because Bateman fixes everything.
Because he saved the day, and that's exactly what he is in Ozark. I'm probably not going to watch the rest of the series with such vigor. Mm. I don't want to binge it because that was exhausting.
I've heard it's a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
In the best way.
I think it's a 1 to 2 episode at a time show. I mean, let it go. Come back to it a couple of days later kind of thing.
Yep.
But thank you, Abe, for that mention, that suggestion 4 years ago. I've picked up on it.
Good on you, Abe.
Yep. And thank you to Jason Bateman.
Thanks, Jason Bateman. I've been skipping through the fields of comedy lately, which has been good.
Gives you a little giggle.
It does. I'm going to bundle two shows together. Because I don't know if they air together, but they feel like they could be. The first one I'll talk about is called Abbott Elementary, and it feels very much like a Parks and Recreation.
Is it set in a school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it is a underfunded, underprivileged school in Chicago, maybe somewhere else. Not New York, but you know what I mean? It's about the focus on the teachers trying to scramble to get by and stuff. Anyway, the cast member that I saw went, oh, I should check this out, was I've forgotten his name. He was on Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes.
He was
the main guy.
He was Chris, who was on Walking Dead.
Had the most unfortunately gruesome death.
I'm still bothered by revolving doors because of him. Anyway, so he's playing the new temp or substitute teacher who we learned during the first episode actually got hired as the new school principal, but the school principal who is in there, who is very flighty and just wants to throw parties and this sort of stuff, has blackmail material on the mayor. And she just needed a job.
Okay.
So we know this has gone on in the background and stuff, but he's still very junior and going to work his way up and all this sort of stuff. It's good fun. I've watched, I think, the first three episodes. There's a couple more in the bank and it's going for the season. It's been getting very good reviews and ratings, so I expect it'll get a second season. That's on NBC.
NBC. So you're just watching it on iTunes?
Coming it through iTunes. Cool. And the other one that I've been watching, and I think it might be NBC too. I can't remember, but it's called American Auto. And it is following the exploits and hijinks of the marketing and management team of a fictitious large auto company in the States. And they just have a new CEO who has directly come from a pharmaceutical company and does not care for cars.
I'm not interested. Almost reminds me a little bit of Alec Baldwin's character Jack in 30 Rock, where he suddenly is like the boss of this TV show when he's actually from
So
the microwave division.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
But and I think her name is Anna Gastai. She looks a lot like Catherine Hahn from WandaVision.
From WandaVision.
And I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. All the people in this show you've seen in a bunch of stuff before. They're great character actors and things like that. You know, there's the British lawyer. It was really good fun as well.
She used to be in Saturday Night Live. She's been in Mean Girls. She was Lindsay Lohan's mum. She often played because she was quite – well, she is quite a good singer. So in SNL she would often play your Celine Dion kind of characters where she'd come in and sing awkwardly.
She is ripping it up on this show, having great time bossing everyone around.
Well, she's got the comedy chops.
She really does.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like the show might have been built around her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I mean, enjoy both of those. And you know, there's six or seven episodes in the can for each.
Cool.
So I waited till I could binge a bit.
And that's a good idea.
Doing two on the other.
That's a nice mix.
You tell us one and then I'll come back to my other comedy show.
All right. So the one what I'm going to talk about this week is not necessarily a show. I'm kind of doing what you did. I was going to leave this for a few weeks, but I got really tempted the other day and I bought Dying Light 2.
Oh,
you know,
I'm
that
really
parkour
tempted
game?
To buy that as well. And you know, I'm not like, but this looks fun.
I'm only maybe an hour and a half in, so very super early days, right? But I played the first game and I played the first game a few years after it came out and it kind of got like lukewarm reviews, right? Mm. But I thought, I like open world games. I like the zombie idea of like trying to run away from zombies and being able to parkour everywhere. That sounded fun. And it was really fun. And yes, the story was not that great, but it didn't matter because it was fun to be in that world and try and survive and all that kind of thing. So this one is set, I think it's about 20 years after the first one.
Okay.
You're in a different part of the world. I'm pretty sure you're in America because it looked like I could see the Golden Gate Bridge at one point. And you're trying to get to the city, which is the only city that is still being inhabited by people that you know of. And I'm a pilgrim, which means I go around from place to place doing work for people and that kind of thing. In this game, the zombies are more about the nighttime.
Sure.
Because in the first one, the nighttime was absolutely frightening and I would just avoid it like the plague because you can sleep. You can go to a safe house and sleep until the morning and I'd avoid it like the plague. But apparently there's a lot to do in the nighttime and they're kind of forcing the player to venture out and do that kind of stuff. I'm a little bit nervous as to how much of that there was because it was genuinely frightening. But from what I've seen from other gameplay and my gameplay, it's really nice. The whole of the civilization, at least the majority of it, lives up the top of buildings. Mm-hmm. So you jump from building to building and there'll be crops growing, there'll be nice little parks and all that kind of stuff, and everything gross is down there, you know, down the bottom. And I reckon if you get it, we'll get good separately and then you can play co-op and just cause chaos.
I had someone say to me the other day, they're like, look, I know you don't like the zombie stuff too much in the gaming, but this one is more... They said it felt like a Spider-Man game because it's all about that graceful parkour and running around. And that sounds really, really appealing to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm down with that. I understand there's no guns.
Yeah, because they're all 20 years or so.
That's cool. So it's just all melee.
It's all melee and it's all parkour except I saw the headline of an article saying that there's a secret motorbike somewhere in the game, like an Easter egg.
I saw that you can get a paraglider power-up.
That'd be nice. That's kind of like Breath of the Wild kind of I think also Horizon Forbidden West has got a paraglider too.
Sure. It's not long to that one, is it?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
February 18th.
I think I'm just going to play a whole heap of games all at once, right? Because can't wait. You can't wait.
There's too many things.
You can't leave Horizon sitting there, right?
Well, I've just gotten the last Horizon in order to get ready for this one. And
oh. It doesn't have, yeah. It's a nice problem to have, right?
It is a very
have a whole heap of stuff that you're looking forward to. But yeah, Dying Light 2, once I have more of an idea of what it's like, I'm sure I'll be able to talk more of it. But
I look forward to hearing more.
It's kind of the thing where like we're sitting here now and I'm thinking I can't wait till tonight so I can have another go.
Still waiting outside a pizzeria for Fry to return? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You have another comedy, right?
Yes, I will quickly mention. We talked a few weeks ago about Murderville, which is the new Netflix show from Will Arnett, and he plays a detective who has a new celebrity detective partner each week.
Such
and they have
fun
to solve
idea.
A murder case. The celebrity has no idea what's going on. They're improvising through the episode. So all the other characters, actors and stuff have a pretty good idea of what's going on and they have a script, but they don't have to stick to it. They can go where the characters go. Oh, this is
such a cool idea.
Such a cool idea. I'm going sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowing myself just one at a time. And it makes sense because you as the audience have to invest in the show. You've got to buy into that. And so it's not one where you can have your phone out or anything
that.
It kind of rewards you the more you stay in there, the more. So I watched three episodes. First one was with Conan O'Brien.
Nice.
And that was a great starting episode because Conan came to play.
Yeah, nice.
And within a minute or two, Conan's in it.
Great.
And he's game for anything. And like,
that's what you want.
Exactly what you want. And so that was an awesome first episode. The second episode blew my mind. It was Marshawn Lynch, which I can't. He's a football player, NFL player.
Oh, okay.
He retired a couple of years ago. He's quite famous for the fact that he hates the media.
Okay.
And regularly got fined for refusing to make appearances.
Yeah, right.
And to deal with things. So he popped up on an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine last year where he was being interviewed and it was a joke of like him sitting there quietly and then Rosa asks him a question and then it like does a montage of the next 58 minutes of him rambling about some sort of food truck he wants to open. So everyone, there was a few people who were like, okay, maybe he's got a bit of comedy chops. And on this, he blew my mind because he doesn't even take the minute Conan does. He like sits down at the chair and let's go, let's kill these fucking murderers. And he's just ready. And
wow.
You see in him of he's just doing this beautiful yes ending. Everything that comes at him, he's open to and like grabs the ball and passes it up to the next, which made the next episode kind of disappointing, which was Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Who – hilarious guy, and I've seen him in tons of stuff that was great, and he just could not give himself over.
Oh, really?
He kept saying no to things.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's an actor. Out of the three of them, he's the actor.
Well, Will's character was going on this whole thing of they had to solve a murder that was at Will's high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tech, the guy that who'd created a face place had been murdered. And Will ran into his ex-girlfriend there. His high school crush that didn't reciprocate the feelings and all this sort of stuff. So he's asking Kumail, you know, surely you had a crush at school. And he's like, yes, I did. And he's saying, what was her name? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you that. And it's like, dude.
Just make it up.
Just make it up.
Yeah.
This is why I say it really depends on you how much you're prepared to watch and pay attention because those – the first two are mind-blowing of wow. This is so well designed.
Mm.
Everyone in here is here to play. I think that will be the case. And because they've got to put in so much effort on each episode, it's not like you can edit or trim down someone who's not clicking quite as strongly as the others. And I'm not saying his was bad. He still made some great jokes. The stuff that was happening around him was still funny, but it wasn't quite as transcendent.
Yeah.
It was just like, holy shit, everyone in this is – they're not making a movie. They're not, you know,
it was the third episode lull, it sounds like. Like they've picked the best ones to go first and then the last couple will be
well, I've still got standouts. Sharon Stone and Ken Jeong to go and I have a he's going to give himself over.
Sharon Stone could just go right into it as well.
The trailers show that she's on board.
Yeah.
At one point, she has to do a bad accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So there's always three suspects that have to be interviewed, mm-hmm. and it is very interesting. Like, Conan is really observant and picks up on a whole bunch of stuff that someone throwaway said or happened in the background. Some of the others are less observant. Some people obviously make their decision very quickly about who the suspect could be. Others wait until the very end. It's pretty cool. If you get it wrong, you get fired instantly.
Murderville.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm going to watch those episodes as well because
I think you'll really enjoy it.
I think I will as well. Did you watch anything else of note this week?
No, not this week. We're all good.
It's time to get into our 2004 quiz. You got to pick the show from 2004 by its synopsis. Now, this is not a show that necessarily started in 2004. It's a show that was on in 2004.
Oh, wow.
So that era. Oh,
okay. All right.
I've picked big shows.
I'm in third year of uni. Yep. Okay. I'm placing myself in my own timeline. Hmm.
This one's very good, the first one.
Right.
Name Redacted visits struggling restaurants across America and spends 1 week trying to help them become successful.
So that sounds like it might be very early season Gordon Ramsay with some Hell's Kitchen.
Not Hell's Kitchen, the other one.
Restaurant Rescue.
Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares.
I want to watch that show again, especially that episode where the owners, who are husband and wife, do not want him there. And you're like, why did you?
Sure.
Why are you on this show? That was one of the most awkward things. Like, even Gordon Ramsay was just like, I don't know.
Why am I fucking here?
Exactly. Okay. Name Redacted finds the owner of a ruined car and takes it to West Coast Customs for a renovation.
Hmm. I actually met this guy.
Did you really?
Yes, when I was working Big Day Out 1 year and I was in Gold Coast and he was staying at the Versace, just up the road from SeaWorld, but was hanging out at Ribs and Rumps or a ribs place.
A delicious
just next
place.
Door.
To yeah, eat yeah, yeah. Delicious yeah. ribs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. And he was hanging out with Enfa and the rest of 1200 Techniques.
Oh my gosh.
It was a very era you're talking about. And his friend Cronjob, who is an albino African American mm-hmm. rapper, he was the bad guy on Black Lightning for several years. Anyway,
we're talking about
X to the motherfucking Z Exhibit and his show Pimp My Ride,
which went on for so long. And usually they would put an Xbox, the original Xbox, in someone's boot.
Yeah,
and they'd be like, "What you can do."
You wanted an armrest? Nah, you got a fish tank, son.
Yeah, but I wanted an arm. Okay, thanks. This show chronicles the acting career of Name Redacted, a young A-list movie star and his childhood friends from Queens, New York, as they attempt to further their careers in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
I had to put it in because when I think of that show, I think – around 2004, right?
Oh, yeah. That was peak. And that was well before the show started to get big, big names.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Entourage, obviously, but what do you remember what channel that would have been?
It was on HBO.
Okay, so it was an HBO
one. So that's why they could have boobs and drugs and all sorts of things and be playing golf off their balcony, hitting balls at Tobey Maguire's house. Fuck you, Spider-Man. I still remember.
And you mentioned Spider-Man 2 before.
Regularly.
Yeah, well, yeah, but also because of 2004. We're up to number 3. This is about a single guy or girl who begins with a pool of romantic interests from whom they have they're expected to select their – I don't know if it's like – I don't think they get married in the end, but I think they just pick someone who they're going to go out with after the show. During the course of the season, this person eliminates candidates each week, eventually culminating in the final selection. I don't think it's a marriage.
Was it Squid
Can't
Game?
Be right. Yeah. This show has been.
Does it involve a rose?
It does involve a rose.
Rose one?
I know there's an Australian one, right? And obviously it started in America. With Usher. But there has to be other iterations of it all around the world.
Sure.
And how is it? It must be such a simple idea, kind of like Survivor, a simple idea where it's just so good that they can keep doing it.
Yeah. And it's translatable.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to bone.
And people like red roses.
People like red roses.
Bachelor.
Mm.
I don't know if the Australian Bachelor was around in 2004 yet. Backy.
I don't know.
May not have hit yet. I remember this show. I watched this show. This one's about two wealthy socialites. Both their names have been redacted as they struggle to do manual low-paying jobs, such as cleaning rooms, farm work, serving meals in fast food restaurants, and working as camp counsellors. And I might also just add, probably wearing some sort of Ed Hardy outfit with a Von Dutch baseball cap.
Sequins?
There would be sequins.
On a jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Underarms.
And the tiny, tiny little purses, you know, those tiny purses that did sit under your arm?
With the dog.
With the dog.
With the dog.
Yeah.
One of them is, I don't know if they still are, but one of them was married to one of the twins
Good
from
Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
I think they might still be.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm going to guess it was Benji. Would
have
been Benji Madden.
Wasn't the other
Joel.
One?
Might have been Joel.
Whoever the other one was.
Was it Veronica?
Is now married or was married to Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
I think so.
Holy shit, those boys did well.
Oh, yeah.
Batting. I'm young and I'm hopeless.
Of course, that was The Simple Life.
It was The Simple Life.
That show was very popular.
I never really checked that one out.
It was quite funny because Nicole Richie is very funny.
She is funny. I've seen her in other stuff.
And Paris was just happy to be – like Paris was obviously the draw card, right? Mm. But Paris was happy to be there having fun with her friend Nicole.
Sure.
Therefore, they were having fun together. Final one.
Yes.
This series follows the life of an antisocial painkiller addict, witty and arrogant medical doctor with only half a muscle in his right leg. That doesn't sound right, but – he did have a limp. He and his medical team of doctors, in fact, I think one might have been from Neighbours.
Yep.
Had to solve medical issues for patients.
They did.
Mm.
I don't think you could make that show today.
Yeah, probably not.
Everyone looking at it, we don't need a medical professional like that. He needs help.
Yeah, let's fix him.
Then he can fix Get your own house in order first.
That's very good, very good. Hugh Laurie. It was funny because the Hugh Laurie that I knew before that was just the guy that was teamed up with Stephen Fry. Yeah, you know? That's right.
A lot of exasperated reactions.
Yeah. And then suddenly he was like this
anti-heartthrob.
Yeah, Blackadder as well. Yeah, he done good. He done good, kid. And
well done to you doing a quiz set in 2004 and not using the OC.
I tried really hard. I also didn't put in Lost because why? Why make things too easy?
Why make things too easy?
So next week we'll have another quiz of, don't know. We'll figure that out soon. But I quite like these ones that are really specific, but you just need to get your mind into it. Like you got to get your head into that space and then, then you're okay.
Once you're there, it's so good.
Yeah, you're really good. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
I don't want to wait for our last to be over.